Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Banks it in!
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Did not do him like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. KC Johnson joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, KC. How are you?
Morning, KC.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, a little relieved the Bulls have stopped playing for a little bit, right? I mean, the All-Star game couldn't have come at a more opportune time. It's get healthier and boy, it's almost like punishment watching them sometimes. And Jim Boylan, his legacy will be the late timeout, Casey. And we were discussing it this morning. Why? I mean, does anyone know why? Does management like it? Does anybody have a problem with it? Is this acceptable? He keeps doing it, and he keeps explaining that it's a teaching moment. They don't seem to be learning.
They got that sweet Satoransky 3-point play out of it last night, Mully. Okay. Shame on you, man.
Yeah. The game before, they took a terrible three that just helped the guy get a triple double.
No, I'm joking. Yeah, it's bad right now. I think you nail it when you say it's a good time for a break. Obviously, when you're around losing as much as the Bulls currently are, everybody's just kind of sick of being around it, and now it gives them a chance. They don't practice until next Tuesday late, play next Thursday, to just kind of scatter a little bit and reconvene and, like you said, try to get healthier. The gym timeouts, that's a weird one. He's clearly someone who enjoys coaching, enjoys teaching, and I think also has a little edge of defiance to him. And I think you combine those three things, and that's how you see those late timeouts.
That's being kind, but I think that is the way to put it, KC. So when the Bulls get back next Tuesday, when they reconvene and start practicing, who will be practicing, and what is there to look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, you really are pointing just to that one stretch when you get, it sounds like this is like air traffic control here. If things go without any setbacks, it sounds like it's going to be Carter and Porter first. Now, they will not be playing in that first game after that break, but the hope is to get them up and practicing in the return to play protocol. Markkanen would follow at some point, probably about a week to 10 days later. And this is all barring setback. And then Dunn, the dude's still on crutches. I mean, nobody's going to be surprised if he's out for the rest of the season, even though they're not saying that. I'm not saying that he is for sure, but he missed 23 games with the same injury last time. He still has swelling in the knee. That was a more significant injury. So you what you're looking forward to is that time when, if it happens, Carter, Porter, and Markkanen are back, and you've got, the majority of your players for 18, 20, 22 game stretch. That's what John Paxson has pointed to. That's what, if you're still a Bulls fan, that's what you're hanging your hat on, is seeing those guys play together better than they did when they were healthy the first nine games of the season.
I love that Jim has asked about starting Coby White, and that hasn't gone through his head. He's just confounded by the question. He hasn't been able to think it through. Maybe he'll be able to think it through during the break.
Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, the defiant part of him. I mean, clearly he's had discussions with his staff about starting Coby White. I mean, I think that's just Jim being Jim right there. And also, to me, the answer, if there's a broader message to it. It's like basically like, hey, we're not in full-on development mode here. We're trying to balance these dual objectives of winning and developing, which is what he keeps saying publicly. So that's how I read that answer. But, I mean, look, anytime Jim is questioned on his rotation or his lineup decisions, he doesn't like it. He's not alone in that as a coach. I mean, just look at the exchange last night post game about the Gafford injury. I mean, if you just want to give the guy one more game and then use the whole break to get his ankle right, just come out and say that. But it took, you know, six questions to get that out of him. So I think he's pretty, he's not unique in a sense, like he's like a lot of coaches. He doesn't like being questioned about his rotation decisions.
I think we're all a little relieved we can start to focus on maybe the All-Star game and coming to town, KC. And you had a tremendous piece on NBC Sports Chicago about the oral history of the 1988 dunk competition. Talked to Dominique Wilkins, the Michael Jordan moment, and that was great. Obviously, this weekend there's going to be a lot of stuff like that, maybe new memories. What are you looking forward to? And I guess when you look back at also writing that, what stood out? Because that sounded like
was a great story.
You had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it was a fun project. Thanks. I talked over like 12 people for it. The thing that probably stood out to me the most was, two things. I mean, Adam Silver was a paying customer in the stands at Chicago Stadium as a University of Chicago law school student. So that's a pretty amazing coincidence. And then just hearing the legacy that the dunk kind of has this many years later with, I talked to Vince Carter for the piece, Zach LaVine. I mean, Vince was 11 at the time of the contest and Zach wasn't born. And yet, you know, the contest resonated with both of them pretty deeply. So I think the longstanding reach and impact it has had. And then the last thing I would say is Dominique was just absolutely fantastic. I spent about 20 minutes with him on camera for a nice video accompanying piece that we had. And I just loved how open he was about it and how not bitter he was about it. I mean, he said, look, I thought I won. Michael thought he won. But at the end of the day, we entertained the crowd, and that's what the dunk contest is all about. He was absolutely fantastic about it. As far as this All-Star, I'm not a big All-Star guy, fan guy. I think the event, it's clearly a celebration and a party for the league. The game is awful. You do hope that maybe this format will make it a little bit better. And the charitable component to it is a nice twist and nice touch. So we'll see how that plays out. Clearly the best thing from my perspective is All-Star Saturday night. Those contests are fun. They're pretty legit. Guys go, want to win them pretty badly. And I think seeing Zach LaVine in the three-point contest is going to be fun. I don't think Zach LaVine is getting enough credit for what he's doing right now. He is absolutely a total pro. He's playing at a high level, extremely high level. He's showing maturity. He's not letting the losing make him a loser. I got all the respect in the world for that dude, and I think it'll be nice to see him get celebrated a little bit on Saturday night.
What, when we talk about the All-Star game and all the guys coming to town and all that stuff, is there any word on whether Jordan might come, or has he kind of got the same attitude you have? He's been to enough of them.
Well, he's always here because he has the Jordan brand party, man. That's like the highlight of – that's the hardest party to get into every All-Star weekend is the Jordan brand party. You didn't get your invite, Mully?
Not yet. I'm hopeful.
You're still hopeful. So he'll be here. Whether he'll be showing his face or around at the events, I can't claim to know. I also did not get the Jordan brand party invite. he's typically around and at the weekend. But I don't know how much the events he'll go to. It would be pretty crazy to see him, at the United Center if he hasn't been there in a while. And he'd obviously be celebrated and welcome, but as far as official tie-ins, I have not heard any talk of that.
Casey, you mentioned Zach LaVine, and I just wondered, how did he address being left off the Team USA 44 member preliminary roster? Stacey King really went off last night, and I thought an impassioned defense of why that was, a snub and why he deserved to be in that group. What did Zach say about it?
It's funny, we didn't get to that, so I don't have an answer for that. What I can tell you is this, Zach, when all those guys were dropping out last year, was, even though this didn't get publicized until well after the fact, he was late in the game asked to attend the USA basketball camp, and he turned it down. He said he was too deep into his off-season routine. And this is my total, my speculation. I do think at that point he was also a little maybe annoyed that it had taken so long, so many guys to drop out for him to get an invite. And that's, again, totally my speculation. What I'll say about USA Basketball, having covered two Olympics and been around it, is this. those guys like reward like longstanding commitments. And so it's not, to me, is it an oversight? Sure. I mean, is Zach LaVine clearly one of the best 44 players in the U.S.? Of course. That's not how USA Basketball views it. They view it as like glue guys. They invite guys that have, you know, been in junior USA Basketball programs, things like that. That's just how that program works. So I think it's a bad, you know, it's an easy thing to rail against, but I think it's a little bit more complex than the way it's being laid out. If I ask Zach, I'm sure he's a proud guy. He's a competitor. I'm sure he'd say, hey, you know, I know I'm one of the 44 best players in the league, but I didn't get around to asking him that last night.
Yeah, that's interesting, the connections to that. And I mean, it makes sense to an extent, because it does. It's hard not to think of it as him being told. Now, again, it one of the best 44 players, you know, you got to look at it. You got to break it into how many guards are in it, right? I mean, you can't, you know, there's a certain number of centers. There's a certain number of swing men. They're going to break that roster down. You know, it's not really one of 44 when you start thinking about him getting snubbed.
Right. Like, I mean, Harold from the Clippers is on. I mean, that's a second, that's a reserve glue big man guy. I mean, he's been in the program before. So that's what I'm talking about. They reward kind of longstanding commitment to the program, and they look for the whole team component. They look for a glue energy guy. They look for, you know, obviously a high profile scorer, et cetera. So it's the whole component of team building that goes into that. But yes, I mean, it wouldn't hurt anybody for them to throw him an invite to at least the camp, but he obviously didn't get one.
Casey, we'll let you go attend to your All-Star Weekend itinerary, but a texter would like to thank you for your line of questioning with Jim Boylan regarding Gafford last night.
That's very nice. I mean, come on. I'll just say this. I wonder if you guys share this opinion. This is actually a larger, quick point about journalism. I think there's way too much attention now about like who asked what question and how press conferences go. I mean, it's our job. We just ask questions. And, if I don't ask it, Darnell Mayberry is going to ask it, or Joe Cowley is going to ask it. Or, I mean, we shouldn't get credit for that. We're just doing our job. But I do appreciate that. I mean, we've all been in uncomfortable moments, and you just got to – it's just part of your job. You don't take it personally. You just keep asking the question, you know?
I think it's exactly. born of the idea of I asked so-and-so, right? I mean, it's some sort of self-aggrandizement.
There's grandstanding going on.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of places. Yeah, yeah. Not that you now would ever do that, Casey.
And I know we got to go. That is the point I'm trying to get to, the larger point about journalism. Yep. I'm glad you stated that, Molly. There is, to me – and now we sound like the old fogies here, but there is, to me, an element of the – kind of newer age or newer way that it does say, I asked this. I mean, come on, man. We've all asked the hard question, and we've all taken the answer from somebody else's hard question. That's just how the business works.
And the guy, it's the best answer at the news conference that gets reported. It doesn't matter who asked the question. And oftentimes people are doubling down on different questions. That's how you get a good answer, because initially someone might not give you the answer you wanted.
Right, and actually, full disclosure here, while we were waiting for Jim last night, we were actually joking about who was going to be. It was my turn to jump on the pile last night.
Well done,
dynamic right there, guys.
Nice
That's
sleep.
Exactly thanks, right. KC. All right, KC, thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. See you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.